Blog Talk Radio.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you finally now.
And it's always nice to start anything with a piece of James Taylor, who was, for the record, one of the first artists signed to the Beatles album, and so was over in Britain watching a whole heap of the Beatles albums get recorded because he was their sort of leading recording star, apart from them, of course. So anyway, he went on to sell, you know, just a couple of squillion albums along the way. So you've accidentally wandered upon a program, a new program called Sweetened Hour, which is on a team of voices radio. We are on allpoetry.com. So if you get yourself to allpoetry.com, swing around to the group, a team of voices. You will then get met at the door by the lovely Deborah Lee, who is not with us at the minute, but is with us almost every other minute. And in the meantime, you have to put up with me, AP, and the lovely Sweet Pea as host. Hi, Sweet. How are you? Hello, Sweet. Are you there? She was there. I was talking to her before.
I am
Meanwhile,
here.
Ah, you are here. Did you notice the theme?
Meow. Yeah.
Yes. It has the wonderful line, sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. And I thought that was sort of vaguely appropriate because this particular episode of Sweetened Hour, we are doing sort of gothic-y, sort of dark stuff. And I thought it's kind of nice to sort of start with the whole idea that we might have flying machines and pieces on the ground. Anyway, that was just me. Probably works, may not work. Anyway, we have a couple of guests with us. Hello, Rack, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, very good. And we have Sky with us, Sky, but Sky, unfortunately, is not going to be with us for long. So, Sky, did you want to place the link to your poem up on the board and then read said masterpiece before you have to disappear stage left?
Yes. I am working from my phone, so just...
It's close. Oh, like that.
So I brought this one because a long time ago I had a little fit and I took everything down from AP, but I brought things back and this was one of Sweet's favorite pieces. So
lovely.
I wanted to bring it back tonight and read it.
Yay!
Because I know that she really loves this one. So this is The Thief Called Grief by Sky Darkholm. A touch of winter on breath, frigid secrets which I've kept, betrayal like a braided broth poured into lungs. Am I going mad? Body clutched, moments lost, vibrations threading like snowflakes on startled skin. The kind of shiver that gallops deep, hooves buried, sunk in mud, treading heavy upon each thud, and I, she who was condemned, awoke in cold banks, blackout still now, hint in shadow's palm, but from mounds of snow they carried the body that betrayed. And I am left to cower within cracking walls, thoughts destructible, black neath nails, the dirt of earth slipped between slates as I scrape, as I claw, trying to obtain sanity. But it's no use. I'm lost in her wrecking smile, the thief called grief. Rope binding wrist, I scream, kept underground, but the devil's voice hasn't sound, and they can't hear. Thickened under skin, as angels' riddles whisper, wicked from within, red on splintered lips as seizures wake, and I am met with fearful hands as I spit up on basement floors. How are my cries so easy to ignore? Face down, skin blushed pale, sunlit deceptions becoming harder to unveil, and are their tongues dipped in truth? Am I the wicked? I'm terrified, drenched in panic like a drowning butterfly, the thief called grief slipping in when I sleep in dreams, the lull of tragedy spun, a web of sunrise's bitter skull as sorrows crept in with dawn, and upon the stake tragedy's bitter weight fell upon those banks like snowflakes. Each holding paper flesh of burnt scale wings, dancing on sin, a soot of circles the sky like at the gathering of ravens as she cries. The last taste on lips, the tinge of copper after fire claims all in its flood. And on landscapes, there was nothing left but death. And there settled in the wreckage, the thief called grief, keeping warm in sunset's bitter skull and lack of flesh. She was terrified. A drowning butterfly left in the ashes of fire's flood, with only the bitter taste of blood. End poem.
Ah, beautifully read. And appropriately dark, too, I must say. Very nice. Now, Sweet, you, I suspect, recall this piece from when it was up on the board before, from all accounts.
Ah, yes. Yes. Am I wicked? Yes, you are wicked, Sky Darkholm. Ah. Very, very wicked. The sunrise bitter skull is how it crept in with dawn. There's so many lines in here that I worship, and I do mean worship. I cannot tell you how much I loved hearing this again, and I hate that you take things down and you do not share the talents of greatness among us. But you do, you bring it and you tease and you take away, and you bring back and you tease and you take away. You are a greedy, greedy lover. And there settled in a wreckage the thief called grief. Kept underground, but the devil's voice hasn't sound. Yes. I just love this piece, the way it flows, the things that, the language that you use, the darkness in it. There's such a depth of coldness throughout this, and questioning, and remorse. There's remorse in here. Like, I'm not sure who you're talking to, or who you want forgiveness for, who you want revenge for, or who you want love from, or if you're just asking the painful question of existence, because you end it with, left in the ashes of fire's blood is only the bitter taste of blood. Whose blood? Ah, I love it. I just love it.
If you remember, it was for the witches, you know, she has seizures, so she was considered a witch and burned alive. So, yeah.
Well,
and I know because I have seizures, that's why I love this. On the landscape, there's just nothing left but death. Yes. You're so beautiful, but it has such depth, and I love it. All right, AP,
Well done, Slate. Beautifully done. And Rack, did you want to say a few words on Slate's bit?
Stunning piece. I love the journey you take us on, the idea that grief is a thief. You know, when it comes to emotions, that's a very fitting thought, I think. The mention of the loss, you know, you've got the copper in the mouth, which is blood, before you actually state blood. So, you know, I like the subtle reference a little better, but, you know, sometimes you got to be hit over the head with it to make the point. It's beautifully done and delicately done, and just you can watch it, easily watch it unfold, and it's like CP says, you know, that we might not have seen it because you took it down in a fit is frustrating, but, you know, it is your right, so. If anyone can censor you, it's you. So, but, you know, we would definitely grieve the loss of reading something like this because, you know, it does contribute a lot. It really puts us in a mood. It makes you smile. It makes you think. It makes you sad. I mean, really well done. Very moving.
Thank you. This one's published, well, so if you want it, I'll give you the book.
Oh, okay. I do have a feeling for you, Sky. I mean, I've started again from scratch not too long ago, a couple of years ago, and have 464 poems up now, but I think I'd easily have 500 that I don't have on the site.
Awesome.
And so,
awesome.
You know, sorry, what's that?
No, that was anyway. I'm being called. I'm sorry. Good.
Oh,
I am being called.
Auntie.
That's what that was. Yes.
You better be.
That's exactly what that was.
It's a bit eerie. Anyway, you better.
That is really eerie.
You better go.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, you better go. You're being something.
I'm me, summoned. Yeah, thank you so much. I just wanted to stop by and read for you guys and say hello.
No, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Thank
show.
You. Yeah. No, I hope so too. I hope so too. We'll work it out as we go along, as we always do. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Nice to see you, Sky.
Bye.
Love you, Sky.
Okay. So, sweet. Let it be known
that
in terms of different styles, I have a lot of different things that I write. This is true. But dark poetry is not necessarily something I'm well known for. I want that noted. And it's because I don't do much of it. And I probably put it down to the fact that I did try and write a couple of dark poems early on, and I went into the world poetry competitions, and I got freaked out by the usernames, much less their poems. I mean, they, you know, they were like, you know, earth destruction and, you know, the gathering of a speck of light or something. And they, all their names freaked me out, much less their poems. And so they were just miles darker than me, you know, like by the length of the street. So I've never really done a lot of dark poems, I'm just sharing, you know.
Okay.
But I do have a couple. I do have a couple.
Awesome.
And I was going to put one up on the board now. And this one was from a Tic Mac Poe episode, of course, where for the life of me, I was trying very hard to be none other than Robbie Burns. This is The Damned of Ben Rowan, and it goes a little bit like this. By heathers and boping tall reeds, stench tay of rotting shoots. When bagpipes call, the moonshine heeds, Utkan's cloak called ghostly pursuit. The steely cracker of crystal disciples parade, clear shaped kilts trembling in line, eyes glare through mare shadows fade, teeth pay ice and frost of clouds fine. Great fields near to a brace of stones, here ken the graveyard by lock. Be fiat of the damned of Ben Rowan, their haim deep, while scalp those that mock. In poem.
Give her a minute to come off of mute. Yeah. Give her a minute to come off of mute.
I am. I just said that's very dark. I have dogs, so I have to, you know, be calm.
You got multitasking, I understand.
Very, very dark. Yes, that's quite the dark little poem. I think you can do dark, just so that you know. You do it well.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. I mean, I think any poem that has scalp in it has a halfway chance, but, you know.
I like anything that has, well, scalp those that mock. I think that has, you know, something there.
Got something. I like
scalp,
fear.
You know,
well, fear gets me.
Yeah.
And aim. So
I like
the end of it. Just
I like that, too. But I also like Steely Crabbit of Crystal Disciplines Parade.
Mm. There you go. I mean, it's got, as I said, it's got a bit of Robbie Burns floating about it, sort of end of the 17th century Scottish. I had my dictionary words of the great
block. And I really appreciate that because I'm just starting to read Robbie Burns because of the new book I got.
Well, there you go.
Right. And I think you have to be on moonshine if you're going to be listening and enjoying the bagpipes for a very long amount of time.
Oh, my God.
Bagpipes. I'll tell you. But my uncle used to play bagpipes.
I love bagpipes.
There is no noise that penetrates a brain more than a note from a bagpipe. It just goes into this this dark, deep place and screams at you.
Yes.
I had to go out and find a clip of a bagpipe to put on my alarm for the alarm that I don't want to miss. So I know exactly what you mean when you say that.
You know what I'm saying? I actually watched like half of 80 bagpipes together in a German sort of song, and I could watch about half of it, and the rest of it just sort of I'm getting a headache. I can't actually watch any more of it. You know, it's just too much. They're killing me. Anyway,
we go to the Scottish Irish Festival and perform with the dogs. And they always had the bagpipe festival at the and the dogs start the bagpipes and the dogs just all go.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
It's quite fun.
You know? Yeah, I get it. Anyway, Rack, what did you think of this recovered poem.
Oh man, you would have had me fooled. The language in the end. I mean, I know people can step outside of themselves and put on different hats and whatnot, but that's almost exactly why I don't. I mean, I would love to try and use some of that language, but it just wouldn't feel like me, and I would find it hard to be, you know, contextually correct with it. So I would have a hard time doing something like that. You did an excellent job stepping outside of, you know, your normal and you know, I guess pulling it out from under a rock. Is when that's where else would you go to find darkness, huh? Great job. And you know, the mention of bagpipes in the Scottish poem, I won't say is a given, but, you know, it definitely sends my mind flying in 15 different directions. There's an octopus in a bar joke I would love to tell you sometime. Really hysterical, actually.
Yeah. I just was looking up every second word. I thought, what Scottish words do I know? Oh, I know, bagpipes. I'll use that, you know. So it just, you know, I was starting to run out of words that I knew what meant near the end. Anyway, we got through it, and it sort of had the right appropriately dark sort of Robbie Burns sort of feel to it. I can't remember if actually people guessed it right or wrong, but anyway, it doesn't matter. and that's fine.
I'm going to put something on the board from an. I do, but it's an old poem, but it's a lovely poem, and I'm going to put it on the board. It's by William Agler. It's called "The
lovely.
Flowers of Evil."
Beautiful.
So it's just going to go on the board. I'm going to put the words up there. So it's called "The Carcass." Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yes. My love, if you recall the object we saw, that fair sweet summer morn, at a turn in the path, a foul carcass on a gravel stern bed. It raised its legs raised in the air like a lustful woman, burning and dripping with poison, displayed in a shameless, nonchalant way. Okay, this is going to be bad because people are going to move the board. I'm sorry. Okay, guys, quit moving the board. His belly swollen with gas, the sun shone upon the petulance as if to roast a turn and give back a hundredfold to great nature, the elements she had combined, and the sky was watching that superb. Oh, God, this is not a good way to do this. Sorry. So if anybody, like, can jump in there.
I'm happy to keep going.
Yeah, go ahead, because it's bouncing all over my computer.
Okay.
If you would like to go ahead and read that, go ahead, because I can't.
I'll read it. No, I'll read it. And Sky was
ahead,
watching that superb cadaver, like, blossom like a flower. So frightful was the stench that you believed you'd faint away upon the grass. The blowflies were buzzing round that putrid belly from which came forth black battalions of maggots which oozed out like a heavy liquid all along those living tatters. All this was descending and rising like a wave or poured out with a cracking sound. One would have said the body swollen with a vague breath lived by multiplication. And this world gave forth singular music like running water or the wind or the grain that winnowers with a rhythmic motion shake in their winnowing baskets. The forms disappeared and were no more than a dream, a sketch that slowly falls upon the forgotten canvas that the artist completes from memory alone. Crouched behind the boulders, an anxious dog watched us with angry eye, waiting for the moment to take back the carcass, the morsel he had left. And yet you will be like this corruption, like this horrible infection, star of my eyes, sunlight of my being, you, my angel and my passion. Yes, thus will you be, queen of the graces, and after the last sacraments, when you go beneath grass and luxuriant flowers to moulder among the bones of the dead, then, oh my beauty, say to the worms who will devour you with kisses, that I have kept the form and the divine essence of my decomposed love. End poem.
Wow.
I love that poem. I just, oh, there's so many great lines in it, and it's just a beautiful way to say, there you are, dead lady. But no, I thought I'd bring that one.
Well,
the bullet point is for this week.
I thought there was a beautiful classic, you know. You read it, AP, what'd you think?
Yep. Well, look, you know, if I want to go and do a poem about putrescence, then I don't think I could have a better starting point than this one. So, I mean, it really, from the heaving of the corpse, from the maggot sort of going within, from the dog just waiting, you know, slathering behind to go and grab the damn thing, you know, I mean, the whole thing just speaks to sort of life after death in a non-Monty Python way.
Is you sure it's not my Monty Python kind of way? I kind of thought it was.
No. Monty Python is far more direct. You know, like for example, they'll go for the instead of, you know, organ transplant, they'll go for the live organ transplant. So just come here, you want to take the liver. Yes, that's Monty Python. This is more subtle. This is more. And observant of what actually happens. It's a very observing poem. I liked it a lot.
Me too. I quite liked it.
It was
fun little research. It was fun little research to do, and I came across him, and I thought, oh, this is quite good.
No, you've beaten my one. Anyway, that's okay. What did you think, Rash?
Yeah, from bagpipes to organs, that was a nice transition. Segue. I liked the subtlety of it. You know, I don't know about a different starting point, but you know, the subject of a carcass, you know, I almost want to say there's not too far you can go with it. Maybe 6 feet down, but you know. It was cool. It was really, you know, and from the 50s, 1954, did you say? Interesting, you know. I almost want to say the language is partially dictated, not so much by the era, but the societal, the way that they looked at things and, you know, things that they didn't talk about. It made it difficult to discuss certain things, I guess. But, you know, I liked it a lot.
I will say this is translated because it's done in French.
Oh, it's done in French. Oh, God. Oh, French would be even more interesting. Yes. Yes.
But I don't speak French, it's a translated version.
we could have it in French, and I could do a very decomposed Australian version of it, which would annoy every French person on the earth.
On the planet.
That would make it even darker, wouldn't it?
Oh, no. I was going to say, yeah, we would have French people lined up all around the globe ready to go and top me because, you know, they'd hear my French accent and they'd go, oh, God, Jesus, where'd that come from?
Well, let's say hello to Wayne.
Hello, hey. Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how's it going, poets?
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, AP.
How are you going?
Wow.
Poets and rack. Fine, I'm doing fine.
There you go. No, so sweet. I did my research, and I came up with a poem as well that was dark.
Oh, wow.
Although not as dark as that, yes. But it is older because, you know, I tend to go old. Yeah.
I've got one old one, too. Not quite as old as yours, I'm sure.
You got another one? Oh, we'll see how old it is. And see how old I go, because I'm actually going to 1810, which is old.
Oh.
And to a poet that I've used a little bit before, Percy Bysshe Shelley, who unfortunately passed away at the late 20s, having drowned. So it was only a poet that had about 10 years writing, which was somewhat of a shame, which is why things came to a grinding halt in about 1822. Anyway, this was from just before 1820. This is Lines, The Cold Earth Slept Below. See what you think of this. See what you think of this, sweat. The cold earth slept below, above the cold sky shone, and all around with a chilling sound, from caves of ice and fields of snow, the breath of night like death did flow beneath the sinking moon. If the wintry hedge was black, the green grass was not seen. The birds did rest on the bare thorn's breast, whose roots beside the pathway track had found their folds o'er many a crack, which the frost had made between. Thine eyes glowed in the glare of the moon's dying light, as a fen fire's beam on a sluggish stream gleams deeply, so the moon shone there, and it yellowed the strings of thy tangled hair that shook in the wind of night. The moon that made thy pale beloved, the wind thy bosom chill, the night did shed, oh, their dear head, its frozen dew, and those did lie where the better breath of the naked sky might visit thee at will. End poem.
Ooh.
Hello, that is great.
Ooh. Wow. Last. Last.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you may have gotten me there. The green grass was not seen, the birds did rust on bare thorn's breast, whose roots beside the pathway track had found their folds on many a crack which the frost had made between. That's just eerie. I mean, that imagery is eerie. And so is the moon that made thy lips pale, beloved. The wind made thy bosom chill. The night she shed, oh, thy dear head. The night she did shed, oh, thy dear head, and frozen dew, and thou to fly with a bitter breath of the naked sky might visit thee at will. This is pretty scary, pretty chilling, I might say.
You like that?
Wow. I do like that. This is pretty chilling myself, yeah.
I like it.
Now, tell you
I
what,
got,
has had found their folds in many a crack which the frost... That hole which the frost had made between, that just is like ice cubes, icicles coming up from the earth. You know, that's just reminds me of the caves and like, be careful. And, of course, I love the yellow strings of thy tangled hair that shook in the wind of night. That is, like, ghostly and witchery, and that's great imagery, too. So there's so much really great imagery in here that's kind of glowing eyes and strings of tangled yellow hair and kind of witchy and, you know, bitter breath of night, naked skies and all dead and heads, and you did very well. Very, very well here. Oh.
Thank you.
Hey. Yeah, very well done.
I thought it had a sort of dark something. Rack, what did you think of this very old poem that is quite interesting with a lovely rhyme scheme, by the way?
I really love what you dug up here. The imagery is outstanding throughout this whole piece. I like what they did. I don't know if you call it a literary device, but it's just a way to construct a sentence, I guess. Trying to describe dead grass is like next to, so instead of trying to describe dead grass, they mentioned the grass in all its glory, but it's nowhere to be seen. So they have their cake and eat it too at the same time. You know, it's not something that's easy to think of when you're trying to, when you're focused on, you know, that's damn it, I want that image of the dead grass. And, you know, well, you don't have to do that. You can present the grass and then take it away. So, you know, I really appreciate for that. I really do. You know, I've twisted sentences around in different directions to try and get my point across like that, or force the rhyme to be on the end when I'm rhyming. But I've never actually put it out there and then just taken it away before. So that's a neat little trick that I'm going to keep in my pocket. I like that idea. But the overall piece and the language and imagery through it, you know, of the starkness and the things that they're talking about, and it really comes through. I enjoyed it a lot.
Excellent. Thank you, Rack. And Wayne, you had a chance to listen to this little piece from...
Over
200 years old?
It's a wonderful. It's a wonderful poem. It's a, and it's the way. It's not just the words. The words are nice and dark and carry a good story. But it's the way the rhyme scheme is set up. It starts off with it goes the A B C C B B A. I mean A A B. It kind of like it kind of leads you into the poem and then the stanza and then jumps out at you and tells you what scares you a little bit. It's a great way to show it in there because it starts out like the cold earth slipped below, above the cold sky shone, and all around. A wind chilling sound from the caves of ice and snow. It builds it up at the very end, kind of leads you into it, and then builds up at the end, makes it a little scary. And I like the rhyme scheme. I like the poem. It's a great job of this. I hope she's around so I can thank her.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's just one of those sad things that the wonderful poet and born in France and I think died in England, but not a lot seen of them obviously because they just weren't around for very long. But gee, they could write. So there you go. So that was my rejoinder to your poem, Sweet. But we've now got a couple of people who've got poems, and so I was thinking we might go to Rack's poem first.
All right.
So I would put Rack's piece on the board, and then we would play the SoundCloud Rack. So bear with me one tick while I get out of all these different places and grab your piece Blur and put it on the board. And it is happening now. And I will now play
the
video.
There it is.
Here we go.
Blur by Rack and Tour. I just want someone to share the rest of my life, possessing an innate understanding of dealing with strife. Being gifted with puzzles would go a long way to maintaining their sanity at the end of the day, because I've given everything I've got till I'm burnt out, short-circuited, mentally shot. Mired in the tar-infused fog engulfing me, I'm empty inside, except for gobs of degrading radioactive debris. Persona non grata, profoundly alone. Any and all possibilities irrevocably blown. Madness burrowing through my mind like feasting worms ready to explode. My esophagus constricted on the fecal matter I've swallowed. Stupefied by how rapidly circumstances appeared to come about, perpetually waltzing on a minefield, every step in doubt. As time marches on, grinding me into dust, my wounds secrete a seemingly inexhaustible flow of rust. Life has flashed by me in a blur, and there's no further debt I could possibly incur. Tilted off its axis, spiraling out of control, ultimately devouring me whole. My journey has come to its inevitable conclusion, proving that happiness is merely an illusion. Operating under a seemingly plausible delusion that my life wasn't meant to end in seclusion. I think I'll get a dog. End poem.
Well, that was a sweet poem all over, particularly the last one. I've done a lot.
Wow.
Sweet. What did you think of that poem?
I'm glad he's getting a dog. That's all I can say. No, there was a happy ending. You're getting a dog. Wow. First, I love the title. I have to say that. I'm glad. The very first stanza just takes you in. I want someone to share the rest of my life, possessing innate understanding of dealing with strife. I'm burnt out, short-circuited, mentally shot, persona non grata. Wow, madness burning through my mind, like festering worms ready to explode. That's pleasant imagery. I really enjoyed that. as time marches on, grinding me into dust. I mean, you have such vivid imagery, and it just kind of marches on and builds throughout this poem, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and you're just tired, you're tilted off your axis, and your journey's inevitable conclusion, and you're just going, and you're operating under, this plausible delusion, and your life wasn't, and you're just so unhappy and you're building us up into this, you know, black pit of despair, and all of a sudden, I'll get a dog and life will be perfect. So I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, my pet.
Of course, for the pet. Feel our number, and thus it did. It had darkness. It had a build of darkness. And then it had a canine at the end. It couldn't fail, really. It couldn't fail. We then have Wayne. Wayne, what did you think of Rack's little blurring of the line?
It's sad. Man, it has sadness and loneliness and depressiveness in it. And, you know, life should not be lived in seclusion. Well, unless you're me, I love seclusion. And happiness is merely an illusion, especially if you swallow fetal material. That really makes it happiness merely an illusion. The end of it was fabulous to get a dog. Then you have something to live for, and life will be so grand that you have somebody to care about, something to care about forever. And I can live in seclusion forever as long as I got my cat here. So that's what you need is a dog, for sure. Great job with this poem, and I enjoyed it. It was a good rhyme.
Yeah, after putting fecal matter on the menu, it's hard to get people to have dinner with you.
He did.
I find that true. You know, you sort of lay up the sort of tablecloth, and you throw the words out there, and then, you know, it sort of leaves you with a bad taste in the mouth, doesn't it? Really, but anyway, you worked your way through it, which is important. And so, now we also have Wayne. You've joined us, and you also had a SoundCloud. Now, I'm not sure
if
you want us to play the SoundCloud or whether you want to read.
Yes, that, the piece yourself. This is my favorite dark. This is my favorite gothic dark poem, and with humor in it.
Right.
So I enjoy this poem.
Right.
It's my favorite. So I hope you enjoy it.
And so do you want to go with the SoundCloud?
Yes, sir. Please.
Okie dokie. Well, we can go with the SoundCloud, no dramas. So bear with me. I'll just put the palm up on the board, firstly and foremostly. So it is up on the board now, and Lady A is apparently not too far away, which is cool. So the palm is on the board, and the SoundCloud is playing now.
This is called Home for the Holidays. Head home to see my lady. Hope she's fine. She was decorating for Christmas with the poison ivy vine. Doesn't care for the season, for all the good cheer. Mental hospital, let her out till first of the year. Marge is so lovely. Those dark, sunken eyes. If she would take a bath, wouldn't be so many flies. Loved the way she dressed up, wearing a little gray. Why she dressed so bright, she wouldn't say. Finally made it home. Slowly opened the door. Looked like she had tried to paint the floor. Saw her sitting in the rocker, so very still. Then I realized her plan was a neighbor to kill. Wasn't paint on the floor, was where my neighbor bled. At first I was hoping my best friend wasn't dead. Then I followed the blood, ended at the bed. All I found of my buddy was his tortured head. He was 6'3" and strong. I was thinking how. Glanced into the room, thought I saw a faint smile. That bothered me. It was something I've never seen. Last time she was happy was that bloody Halloween. She turned her head, thought she was going to speak. She hadn't said 5 words in the last week. Then she opened her mouth. Out come blood in the ear. I just shook my head, went to get another beer. Told her hope she had fun, mutilating my friend. I never brought her another set of carving knives again. Yelled that I was hungry, enough to eat a bear. She pointed at the table. Saw a friend's arm, without hair. I had a hard time eating her arm. We were out of salt. Hadn't had time to go shopping. Guess it's my fault. That's where the body was, after the gruesome kill. Without emotion, handed me a card. Said, thanks, Goodwill. In.
Well,
why the full press? Music and the whole lot. I mean, I don't know where to start. The only thing I will say is that, you know, I didn't know that my ex had found her way to Kentucky, but clearly she has. And so with that, I'm going to go to Rat.
I have to commend you. You know, she spits up in the air and you go get a beer. That's wow. I wish the background music was just a little lighter. You know, I had a little hard time trying to follow you, but I picked up the notes of humor in it and the spookiness too. So you know, you did a great job with that. You know, a beautiful story, and as always, I love your twist.
Yeah, she gave the body to Goodwill. That was nice of that little touch.
No, not the ending. I like the ending. No,
thanks, Goodwill.
What did you think of this? Of this very.
Well,
intriguing.
I don't think it's very nice to talk to me about me like that.
Thanks.
I'm just saying.
How many ears did you split up, sweet?
Huh? I just don't think that you should talk to me. No, I love this. I've heard this before, and I think it's hilarious, first off. And, of course, I think that you you have such vivid imagination. Can it really be that bad? Can anybody be that bad? My goodness. Poor you. I don't think anyone should treat you that bad.
I'll never get another set of carving knives again.
Oh, my goodness. But then again, after what you've gone through this last year, I think maybe you were too nice. I'm not quite sure. Oh, this is dark and crazy, and I hope you never go to court, just so that you know. And this poem is never, ever seen inside of a courtroom.
I'm going to read it, sir.
It's all fiction. And you know it. At the bottom it should be, this is all fiction, disclaimer for you. But, yeah, this is great. It's dark, it's deep, and I really love it.
Thank you
great
very much.
Bite.
Yes.
It's sort of arm in cheek, isn't it, Wayne? Not sort of tongue in cheek, more sort of.
I tried to put something
and,
that never stands up.
Yeah, and you know, I do wonder what the Goodwill would actually do with the rest of the body, but I'm sure they'd find something.
Get a receipt there,
you know. But no, it's got great style. And I did appreciate the very cute sort of humour that went with the great carvery that we enjoyed. Well done.
Here's a cut up.
So now I have heard from our great leader Deb, who is. Not going to be able to join us, but she has asked me to read her poem, sweet. So I am going to get Deb's poem and put
do
it on the
board. Do we have
permission?
What about you?
If we don't have, then I'm in trouble, you know. So we just have that noted somewhere, you know, that
I'm being smart. Don't listen to me.
Yeah. I'll, you know, you do the crime, you do the time, all that stuff. So we'll just see what happens. And unless, you know, you're negotiating with the U.S. federal court and it seems that you do the crime and then you talk about the crime and then you don't do the time. Well, anyway, that's where I am with that. But we will go to Deborah Lee's piece, which is called Say Hello to the Gothic Death Moths. And it goes, of course, a little bit like this. From eggs that hatch on potatoes and tomatoes to the caterpillars that pupate then sprout wings, they rise from excavated underground chambers in blue-grey and yellow-brown shades so striking. Honey, jasmine and nightshade lull them in, so they land to sip the nectar from the blooms, drinking dew from the buckthorn plants too, intoxicated by the sweet floral perfumes. Hawk moths click their mandibles, biting if threatened, expelling air accompanied by flashing abdomen lights and emitting a loud accordion chirp as sound vibrates, deterring the predators that hunt them as food at night. Neath the glow from the magnesium moon, legs land on green larvae-covered vegetation, hit by striped beams bursting between leaves, setting a red laser stare and a dark reputation. In night sky over the river of the dead they fly, cutting off the threads to the tie people to life, striking men with baldness on the fabled flights and dotting rashes on their children and wife. Tales say the death's head hawk moth spirals and the black witch moth loops as it soars, spreading shadows and flapping overhead. Then in the darkness they dart to the doors. Seduced by the light from the porch torches that zap the skull marks' thoraxes, like chocolate marshmallow s'mores, all for chasing the lure of the lithium light, bodies are swatted to the linoleum falls. End poem. I'm just reading the author's notes now, which is quite long, dark and extensive. Wayne, did you want to comment upon the
moth? I never thought a moth would scare me, but this moth here must be a pretty badass. And the wording of this poem was great. I like the stanzas. I think the best stanzas: in the night sky over the river of the dead, they fly, cutting off the threads of the tie people to life, striking men with baldness on the fabled in the flights and dotting rashes on their children and wife. That is just cool as hell the way she wrote that, the way the moths flow. And I don't know, it's a great poem, and I just can't get over it. The moth would be, they have gothic moths. I didn't know there was a gothic moth. That's amazing. It's a great poem. Just a great poem. I love it.
I thought it was dark. I thought it was informative. I thought it was
a morph, a moth.
Fun. In a sort of, you know, swap the thing out of the sky way, and it was true, yeah, and it you gotta love that. So I enjoyed it. We'll go to Rat for his thoughts on the
I like that she added another dimension to the death's head moths, made famous in Silence of the Lambs. If you've heard the name before, that's where you probably were. Mm-hmm. But she gave it that additional characteristic of cutting the threads of the living. So, she took it that extra step to make it really spooky. I mean, the moth itself, I think the natural markings are pretty amazing. And you know, even though nature, you know, put them there and there's nothing really ominous about them, it is kind of spooky to me that exists like that. It's wild to look at, and I really like stuff like that. The other moth that she combined it with and you know, has the two of them, you know, doing nefarious things. This is really a cool write. She took something innocent and really kind of dirtied it up for us in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And it rhymes.
The
goth moth.
Yeah, it does. and I could be convinced, yeah, and you know, bear with me, but you know, I look at the basketball here and there, and
been a few issues with an Australian basketballer in Philadelphia, and it sort of strikes me as you could call this sort of an ode to Ben Simmons, you know. But anyway, putting that to one side, Wheat, do you want to say a few words?
Well, I love kind of the mythology that she has in her notes. I mean, the poem is fabulous. Scary as hell, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, honey jasmine and nightshade lull them in so they land to sip the nectar from the blooms, drinking dew from the buckthorn, too intoxicated by the sweet floral perfumes. And then they're running around knocking people out, especially, you know, it's crazy, the sounds that they make and, you know, what they're doing and rushes and all of that. I mean, just the thought of seeing one coming flying at me and all of that would scare that bejesus out of me. Tail say the death hand moth spirals and the black witch moth loops and it soars and the spreading of their wings and all of that. I think that's frightening for as big as they are. But
yeah,
when you go into what the actual mythology that she talks in her notes, wow, you know, one sits over your porch and you're going to win the lottery and the money and the black witch mythology in Hawaii associated with death, but in the Bahamas you're winning money. I think this is just fascinating. All of it, from the poem to the author's notes to everything. You know, not only is she bringing us horror and myth and mythology, but she's educating us as well. Beautiful, Deb.
It's kind of fun. I mean, there are not a lot of cons about Mox. Sweet person. It has to be said.
No, there are not.
You know,
they're so vicious.
It's a subject that is underrepresented, I think, in the poetic lexicon, Mox. And we should have, you know, done something about that, clearly. But it's unfortunate that we don't have more poems about Mox, clearly when they're interesting. And because they've got interesting stuff there that Deb's put, and it's all factual, which is even scarier, really. But
we need more Moss and poems.
We do.
Well,
Godzilla should not be the only one with the Moss market.
That's true. That is true, Sweet Pea, you know, there should be more poems about moths. I agree with you. And I only do have a couple. So,
I don't have any.
Do you have any moth poems, Sweet Pea?
A goth moth.
I don't have any moth poems. No, I don't. I have a lot of doll poems. I put a lot of doll poems up tonight. My theme was doll.
Yeah, right. Well, see, I've only got two moth poems, Sweet Pea.
Well,
but there's only one that we can do that is applicable.
Okay, we'll make it so.
There is one that we can do that is applicable, and the reason I say that is because one of my moth poems is a palindrome, and I was told that I wasn't allowed to have a palindrome here on the show. Well, it's certainly not the first show.
No. It was said that we could not have a palindrome show or a shape show.
Oh.
Because I could not do palindromes and shapes yet. So we had to work our way to those types of shows. Not that you couldn't do a palindrome. So there's a little confusion there.
There is a little bit. That's a slight difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a slight difference.
Yeah.
So
you need to learn backwards thinking for palindrome suite.
Well, I'm now looking for said poem because it was one of these ones that was done all of these eons ago, and it's probably on my old computer because it was done very well done. Thank you, Rat. Yes, it was in my book, and the reason for that is because it was it was a very strange piece that actually turned on the definition of moth and the definition of umber, because of umber, of course,
and
being
right.
a colour, yeah, and having multiple sort of, you know, different things. But the good news is I can't find it, so that's a positive.
You want to look? I can do a doll poem if you want to look for the moth poem.
What, can you?
Oh, yes, I have Dolly poems. I did Dolly's this week.
Okay, well, you do a Dolly poem, and I will go, maybe I have to go to my old laptop. Anyway, I'll go looking for this other poem while you do that poem.
All right. Well, I got two short ones and a long one, so you're looking. I'll do the long, well, maybe I'll do Beth Ann. Beth Ann's one of my favorites. So we'll just pull
it.
Oh,
no, that's a great poem. I love that poem.
Okay, well, then I'll do Dolly. We'll just do Dolly.
Okay.
We'll do Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
She's an old one, not one of my best, but we'll throw Dolly up.
Hello, Dolly.
Okay.
Hello, Dolly. I'm glad you love Beth Ann. All right. Here we go.
It's so nice to see you back where you belong.
I know. Hello, Dolly. This is Dolly. All right. Dolly by Sweet Pea. Tick-tock hands go round the clock. Drip-drop rain spatter hits the roof like little rocks. Pitter-patter little feet skitter-scatter across the floor. Hear the giggles of Dolly whispering by the door. Nighttime stories play in monochrome shades. Cracks smile with blue eyes and pigtail braids. Reaches out to cut off a head with switchblade. I screamed and Dolly smashed my lampshade. Mama runs to settle ruckus just to dream, my child. Daddy scolds, there are no ghosts, don't be so wild. Dolly reaches out to touch my hand, wink and smile. She whispered, just wait, you'll soon die. Big brother is nodding, smokes cigarettes. I watched his lighter, enjoyed the fire. Now I know how to end Dolly's reign. To hell with that tiny pain. She will go up in smoke, that sick giggle will choke. Pitter-patter, she prances across the floor. Jumps onto my bed and upon my head. I grab her feet, she cannot retreat. She struggles, I pour gasoline from her head to her feet. One flick of the Vic and her hair starts a bonfire. Round and round she dances, a ballerina to admire. My bed starts to burn, the walls begin to smoke. An alarm starts to scream. The last thing I see is the bluest of flames. Mommy and Daddy now come to visit me. In a hotel room with bars and padded walls and scenes. I'll live here for eternity. As long as I never have to see another Dolly. End poem.
Very, very dark. Rack, did you want to say a few words about that piece?
Oh, the flaming hair. I know the doll didn't have red hair, but when you say flaming hair, you know, by default it's red at that point, I think. So, you know. That's a Sweet Pea trait. you are a little doll, Sweet Pea. You are. oh gosh.
I got that this morning.
Oh, someone called you a little doll?
No, somebody called me scared redhead.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a brilliance in its own right to this, you know, forget Chucky and things like that. This is your own little hell. You know, girls and dolls have a different relationship, I think, than that the thoughts that movie tried to invoke. And I definitely prefer this because, you know, it gives you that, you know, is she imagining it thing or is it, you know, something that just other people can't see and she's the only one that's hip to what's really going on. So, you know, I love thoughts like that because, you know, while everyone's looking at you like you're crazy, you know, you've got, no, I've got proof. And then you make her dance like a ballerina. that was another gorgeous line, you know, it's like, you know, that even, you know, and probably unintentionally, but, you know, that for me that evokes the idea of the music box. So, you know, you managed to even worm that in there. Yeah. So I like that idea. You know, I made me think of that as well, you know, even though I don't think that's where you were going, but it still evoked that image for me. So dance like a ballerina.
thank you.
Very, very nicely done, sweet. It's sort of one of those pieces that sort of kicks on sort of layering with idea and thought until you sort of get to the end and you think, what have I just done? What have I just seen? It's really very cool. So I enjoyed it a lot. So well done, you.
Thank you.
And meanwhile, would you believe I have found the palindrome?
I have to comment.
Wayne, comment. Go, Wayne.
Yes, go, I was.
Wayne. Sorry,
Don.
Yeah, please comment.
Yeah, I listened to it while I was down there taking my restroom break and feeding my cat and getting me a beer and a buffalo wing. But I came back and read it, and this is a wonderfully dark poem, and the couplets are just absolutely wonderful. And it's kind of sick, but it's a one flick of the bick, and her hair starts a bonfire, round and round, and dances like a ballerina in the mire. And the last stanza is great, too. It said, Mom and Daddy come visit me in a hospital room with bars and padded walls, scenes. I will live for eternity as long as I never see another dolly. That's great. It's a doll head caused you a lot of problems, it looked like, and so you did it right by burning her up. So it's a great, great poem.
Yes,
it's dark and spooky, and you're the little red-headed doll I always thought about.
Aw, thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Oh.
Well done, Wayne.
Thank you.
So, sweet. I found the poem.
Yeah.
I found the poem.
Yeah.
It took me long enough, and I had to actually go via the fact that, you know, I was doing a lot of palindromes in 2017 in the back end of it, and that's how I found it. So that was how I went about it. So the author's note first. Firstly, there is a stamp, or a four stamps, of an umber-coloured moth with a violet background from Norfolk Island. Then, in reverse, a violet moth from Norfolk Island, where moths are also known by the dictionary definition name umber. Okay, so umber is brown, and umber is also a moth. I promise you this is true. And so that's the basis of the palindrome, which is stamps, moths, and violet. And it goes a little bit like this. Violet is colour, moth is umber, set speckled stamp, post number. Eyes blazing purple, waltzes strings, sighs wings upon waves glittering. Flies above island Norfolk pines, arise dot by Pacific Ocean lines. Wrangles tones, wine flits strayed, tangled forest in deep. Nightshade, deep in forest tangles, strayed, flits, wine tone wrangles. Lines ocean Pacific by dot arise, pines. Norfolk Island, above flies, flittering waves upon wing sighs, string waltzes, purple blazing eyes, number post, stamp, speckled set, umber is moth, colour is violet, end poem.
That's not very scary, it's actually quite beautiful. So
it's scary.
I like that it's about moths.
I heard it's scary, but I mean, you know, it's a moth poem.
It is a moth poem. It is very pretty, though.
And it's a palindrome. It's a moth poem.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it does have nightshade in it, though. Nightshade is scary because it can kill people.
Well, it does have nightshade in it.
So
that's true.
Yeah, she got a little little scary in there. And string waltzes, depending on how well they're done, they can be kind of scary.
You're right.
Depending on where it's not.
You know. But I love this. This is really pretty. Umber is the moth, color is violet. That's very pretty. I never knew that existed, but
you know,
somehow, I think I heard this poem, though. This is very pretty.
So,
oh, wow.
I just put that in, you know, apropos the fact that I had a poem on moths and it was a palindrome. But I did write a poem, sweet, for you.
Good.
I did write a poem for you.
Very excited about that.
Did you write it forwards or backwards?
No, I wrote it forwards. And what happened was, well, it only goes one way, this one, sadly.
Okay.
And I was in here, and I was thinking it would be a really good idea to get some sleep, because I'd just done an early program with the guys on the other, you know, earlier station. And then my landlord comes in and starts playing at full belt this heavy metal music. Now, not just heavy metal music, swearing, loudly thumping, you know, right on the edge of your seat, sort of brutal heavy metal music. At
kind of like a Slipknot vibe.
We're back to the bedpipes again.
Oh, it wasn't. It was. It made Soundgarden, you know, sound like the Wiggles. You know, these guys were just, you know, right out there and yelling obscenities at each other while they were horn drawn and quartering each other. Anyway, so I listened to that and did a poem. Sweet. And it came out. I had to do it. It came out like this, and it was called Sirens. And it goes a bit like this. And the guitars, they kept on being played as noise went through my head. Just one line of blood sprayed, murky, a dirge, crimson red. He bowed at the altar of the almighty amp, and with the music he played, swearing in anger to guitar stamp, just one line of blood sprayed. Bastard came in and woke me on morn, just one line of blood sprayed. Hit away at punching bags in scorn, bass deeper in reverb arrayed. One line of blood sprayed with an ice pick to the throat, while music continued as bright. Soft soon will distantly float. End poem.
Great point.
Okay. Absolutely. One of the darkest poems we've ever written. And it's banging. It is banging. Let me tell you. This is awesome. I love this. This is like, take it to 11, Sir AP.
this one goes to 11.
This one goes to 11. This is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame kind of stuff that belongs right up there. Wow. Bastard came and woke me on morn, just one line of blood sprayed. Hit away at a punching bag in scorn, bass deeper in reverb arrayed. That is a hell of a stanza. I really like this. I think, yeah, you might be able to sell this to some of those mad ass fans. I mean, come on. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Sunday School Killers, but they're a local band here in Denver.
Yes.
They might like this. Let's see, who else? The Clown Posse. I'm not sure if you know who they are, but they're
Insane
Clown,
Clown Posse.
Yeah, the Insane Clown Posse. Yeah.
I could hear Metallica doing it.
Metallica, I can see Metallica doing this too. Yeah. Call up Ozzy, see what he's got. Yeah.
The altar of the amp.
Ah. Oh, a little Slipknot. We'll call up the brothers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Actually, I actually know one of the band members at Slipknot. We'll just keep that
nice
on the
bragging. Now you're just bragging.
But yeah, Boys in Iowa. But yeah, this is really cool. All right, back into your thoughts on this one.
I love that line about the altar of the amp. By the time you got to that piece, my ears were bleeding, and that line rather, my ears were bleeding. So I said, well done. why in God's name was the landlord playing heavy metal in the middle of your apartment in the morning?
Oh, you know, they're right next door, and they had their studio out the front, and they usually just churned it up, but today it was like at 48, and I was like, oh, God's sake. Wayne, what did you think of this little...
See, the bastard came in and woke me in the morning, so you got a nice pick and stabbed him in the throat with just one line of blood sprayed. I would have stabbed him twice. This is dark, it's funny, and it's sick. And it's sick.
I wanted to get his security deposit back, Wayne.
What?
He wanted to get his security deposit back. That's why he only stabbed him once.
Just say one time, just one little spray of blood.
Yeah, well, just one. I can fix that.
Go to them museum.
Give me back my security deposit.
That's right. You only get one spray
this.
Of blood. So.
Play this. Play this.
Oh, God.
So.
That's great.
Anyway, there you go.
Good job.
Just showing you that, you know, I have a little versatility when it comes to dark stuff.
Sweet,
you know, so,
thank you.
You know,
beautiful.
A little bit of best. Got to watch AP. Yeah, crazy.
I do watch AP.
Beat of the damned, Ben Rowan, all that stuff. You know, so it just appealed to me. It did. I was sitting here getting more and more frustrated by ridiculously yelling heavy metal, and it just appealed to me. And I don't know why, but it did.
It's quite lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Quite lovely.
It's something anyway. Well, it's dark. Let me put it that way.
Yes, it is.
Dark.
Well, I'm going to take that band then for you.
I thought it was bright red.
Yes.
So I'm going to take that band for you.
I was going to put Pretty Bird. I was going to put Pretty Bird on the board.
Let me do Beth Ann, and then we'll do Pretty Bird.
Okay, right up, cool. We're perfect. Let's do that.
Because I'll do since you did Sirens for me, I'm going to do Beth Ann for you, and then we'll put Pretty Bird, and then I want to make sure we have permission for Gonzo. I don't know if you have that or not.
Good question. I've got to check that. While doing that, I will check.
Okay. Well, you got to listen to Beth Ann because that's your special little poem. Okay. So this is Beth Ann. All right. My baby doll has red hair and green eyes. Her name is Beth Ann, and she has died. A ship sank in a storm a long time ago. She left Ireland because the potatoes didn't grow. Mama doesn't listen to what I say. When I tell her Beth Ann has been bad today, Mama smiles and says, how cute. But I watched her eat a dog and I really puked. My baby doll talks from under my bed. She tells me stories of her death. Beth Ann has a plan to take all of me, and soon I'll be her and I'll be dead. One day I watched Beth Ann kill my mommy. Flesh, blood, bones, eyes, and more. Daddy thought he found me eating her on the floor. But it wasn't me. It was Beth Ann, I swear. Now I can only be seen in photographs. Daddy brings them for Beth Ann to see. And now I'm the red-haired dolly on her knee. The world locked up Beth Ann and threw away the key. And lucky for Beth Ann, they allowed her keep her precious dolly and poem.
I've always found the dolly thing sort of scary, I have to say. I don't know what it is, but I just always found the dolly bit scary. Wayne, what did you think of Beth Ann?
I'm trying to get over these dolly poems. I'm telling you what, these dolly poems are amazing. Beth Ann is, I need to read it again. I've been trying to keep up with it, and I'm kind of, I need to take my time to read this again because I'm not sure I'm going to say the right thing, but I watch her eat a dog, and And I really appreciate, I don't know if I'm reading this right or not, but it's pretty dark. And so I'm going to read it again and comment, and so it'll make some sense.
Yeah. Yep. Go there. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, and raconteur, what did you think of Beth Ann?
Oh, man, the human qualities of the doll, I think, are what makes it so scary sometimes. And, you know, when we write sensual poetry or romantic poetry about some of our fellow poets, one of the traits, you know, you talk about porcelain skin and you give them doll-like qualities. And so it's almost like, you know, the palindrome, the same idea in reverse. You write about dolls like people and people like dolls. So, you know, this lends itself very well to Sweet's little horror story here. And, again, the idea of, you know, it wasn't me, it was the dolly. so you have to wonder, you know, if it was something that went on in her head or if she snapped and she did it, and thinking she was the doll or possessed by the doll. Or, you know, we all look for plausible explanations and very rarely walk away with them.
Did I get this straight here? This doll, you killed your mama and ate you, and you killed your mama and then ate her.
The doll basically it becomes the child, takes the child's life, or actually becomes the doll becomes the child, and the child becomes the doll. They switch. So
right.
the doll is now the child, and child ate the mother.
You are sick.
So they lock up they lock up the child, thinking, but the child is the doll is now the child. So it's kind of a split, spiritual split inside of them.
Got it. That makes
sense. So the doll ate the mother, and the doll ate the doll.
And the doll was you.
So
yes.
You become the doll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's deep.
I mean,
it's deep.
You know, she was the doll.
It's an intriguing write, Sweet, because it sort of channels a Sankey to start with, you know,
yeah.
With the potatoes and Ireland. And I'm sort of thinking,
oh, man.
This is going to be a shameless
write.
And then
oh, God.
The bloody doll goes and eats the mum, and I think, that's not a shame, right?
That's where I got lost there.
He went with
that lost me right
there. He went with baked potatoes, but he didn't, you know, go down.
No, I lost you guys. Come on.
I hear you.
I hear you. We just lost AP. AP, you up there?
Okay. We lost AP. I thought I lost me.
I bet Beth
is not. Where are you?
I'm still here, but maybe I'm not.
Oh,
I'm not here.
Yeah, you muted for a minute.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We got you, AP.
You got me back. Well, I promise I didn't go anywhere. I just, you know, the system just kicked me out. And I was making all sorts of, you know, wonderfully insightful comments about your poem and Seamus Heaney, and then I was gone. It's like the ghost of Seamus Heaney's gone and struck me down, you know.
he took exception to what you said.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
Then I wasn't.
Anyway, we do have somebody on hold, and I suspect it might be Lady
okay.
A. Hello, 506.
Yes, it is indeed. Sorry I'm so late calling in. But I had another commitment,
We
made it.
Working perfectly. We are working perfectly. If we did Pretty Bird's poem next and then Lady A's, would that make sense, Sweet?
Absolutely.
Okay. Righto. Well, let us do that. I'm going to go and put the poem that we are talking about here, which is Pretty Bird's piece, and I'm going to put it on the board, and then I'm going to play SoundCloud, and then we're going to do Lady A's piece. So the piece that I'm putting on the board is Osseous by Pretty Bird, and It is on the board now. And I'm now going to go to videotape, and it's playing now.
Osseous, that pretty bird. Remember me.
I am, please.
A growl from across the room. That's the last time I fell asleep watching a horror flick. Bob shook his head to wake up enough to go upstairs. I remember you. The voice came again. He saw the vacuous eyes in the corner and wouldn't have thought another thing of it until the face caught the light. But there was no face, just scraps of fabric and a pretentious black and white wingtip. This can't be, Bob gasped, instantly recognizing his old man as he backed towards the stairs. Evil. He was always evil. The bones seemed to float towards him, hands outstretched. Bob turned to run, only to find the stink of reanimation, flesh rotting, stumbling towards him. An emotionless cackle. The bones groaned through the air. Told you I'd come back. With the motion of his bony arm, the zombies groaned towards Bob with each step. The air was putrid in his lungs. He tried to push past them, but they seemed nailed in place, immovable. You burned me alive, son. The sound of his voice filled the room, though that naked jaw never moved. What should be your punishment? The bones teased in slow motion, creeping ever closer to his murderer. With another swipe of his arm, the minions moved in, the sound of jaws cracking as they bit was almost deafening. Bob swung wildly, never taking his eyes off his dad. When the police arrived, Bob lay lifeless, his own bloody arm in his hand, like a paintbrush he used to scrawl his message. I killed my father, was written on the wall by his side. His body torn to pieces, the floor strewn with dead flesh. Bob looked to have been torn apart with no sign of forced entry, and the doors all bolted from within. The best the cops could tell. He bit chunks of flesh from his body, spit them out to move on to the next. Parts of his face were still hanging from his fingernails. Though it had only been a day, the air stunk of rotten flesh. Neatly placed by the door was a half-burned pair of wingtips.
Yeah, okay, that's nice and colourful and light. Like going down the path, seeing we're off to see the wizard, sort of in yellow, sort of cue. Sweet. What did you think of that slightly darkened piece by Pretty Bird?
Slightly dark.
I thought it was insanely good. The imagery, the scariness, the oh my god, poor Bob. I don't think there's anything, not one word in it that's not out to scare the bejesus out of anybody at all. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's crazy.
Yep.
And her voice just adds to it, and it's wild and fun, and I just loved every second of it.
Cool. And Wayne, what did you think of Osseous?
Well, I've gotten a little wheezy tonight. You know, first tweet eats your mom, and now Bob eats himself. You know, I'm lost for appetite all of a sudden. This is a very, very scary little poem right here. Man, he's stepping through his body parts all over the room. Oh, God, my God. He must have had a rough night. This is a great poem. It's very dark. It's very, very dark. I can't believe she wrote something like his.
Very dark.
Bits of chunks from his flesh and his body and spit them. Oh, man. Oh. Dark time we go.
Yes. Yes, no, I agree with you. Lady A, what did you think of this piece?
Well, you know, this was, like, really quite horrible. It's like, well written, but just gruesome as gruesome can be. And, I'm looking for, the best the cops could tell. He bit chunks of flesh from his body, spit them out to move on to the next. Parts of his face were still hanging from his fingernails. Like, how do you think this dark, horrible stuff up? This was really something else. It's a brilliantly written, and yes, her voice lends a certain calmness to the chaos. Really a creepy creepazoid piece of poetry. Absolutely. Well done.
Yes, very much so. And Rack, what did you think?
I think if you're going to have a schizophrenic, your name has to be a palindrome like Bob. I really love the way her mind works, and you know, when she puts pen to paper to express these flights of fancy, as it were. I mean, wow. It combines the idea for me of some of the riddles here. You know, there's a man in a room, and there's no windows and doors, and they're all locked. And how did this happen? And so, you know, she kind of throws that idea in there as well. You know, so that any logical explanation you try and find, other than the one that she's offering you, you're not going to find, because she's kind of covered all her bases and said, you know, well, no, this is what happened. Deal with it. And you know, it's that attitude that I think I really enjoy the most about the way that she writes, because you know, there's no excuses, there's no avoiding the gore. It's like I'm putting it on a plate and you're eating it. And yeah, she does a fantastic job of it. She really does.
I agree. It did have sort of, in this particular instance, actually, Monty Python was actually more restrained. But in The Meaning of Life, when it had the short section called Death. It actually, Grim Reaper came along and, you know, interrupted dinner and then took everybody away. And one of the people said, can I ask you a question? And the Grim Reaper said, what? And the person said, how come we all have died at the same time? And the Grim Reaper says, points to the salmon mousse. And the guy goes, darling, you didn't use tinned salmon, did you? And the lady goes, I'm most dreadfully embarrassed, as they all go off with the Grim Reaper being dead, thanks to using the salmon. In this particular instance, though, the people were sort of torn and ripped apart. And I loved how the person got the arm back in the other hand as a sort of a pointer, and then sort of drew on the wall that it was me. You know, look, don't look for anybody else, just look for me. So gruesomely sort of, clever in the way that it was done, and I enjoyed it very much. So anyway, well done, Pretty Bird. Thank you. It's always nice to have you sail by and have your, you know, wonderful pieces there. So Lady A, I think you did piece. I'm pretty sure you did do a piece. And so I was going to get it from the board. I think it was called The Finale. Is that right?
Yes, it is, yes.
Okey-doke. Well, I'm going to put it on the board now. And if you have a look at the board, it will be there as we speak.
Okay. I'm just dropping you a note for your poem I just read. Okay, sorry.
Okey-dokey. And then, sweet, just a quick one, lady. I can't find a permission for We All Are Gonzo to read at the minute on the board. I've looked, but I can't find it.
I'm going to think we've got it. I think we've got it because Deb put it in the studio. I don't think he's put something in the studio that we couldn't read.
If he didn't give, he may have given blanket permission because he's been read before.
Yeah.
So,
unless
this is like a specific one-off, like Pretty Bird does.
No, if you give it blanket permission, then I'm happy. So, all good.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Yep.
So, Lady A, we are in your hands.
All right. This is called The Finale. I've read it before quite a while ago. It was written about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, then I wasn't just...
Okay. The Finale. Upon the mountain stood a curious bastion, a castle with massive portholes of ancient fashion. Betwixt two was an image of an eye, a winker. Lit from behind it cast a silhouette, a fearsome creeper. Hypnotized, the people in the valley made a pilgrimage. Obedient, mindless, they climbed the mountain to the image. Paralyzed with fear, yet not resistive, blindly following one after another, submissive. Entering the citadel, the sheeple were met by the grim reaper. Robed in hooded black, he was the bastion keeper. A carpet of bones of the human sort covered the floor. They crunched and broke, a sound they could not ignore. Awakened in the horror, the pilgrims realized their fate. They had stepped into hell through the Reaper's Gate. Screams could be heard as far away as the valley. Death was welcome now. This was their life's finale. End poem.
Yeah, very nice. Nice way to finish. No, very, very good, Lady O. I was glad I said all those words about the Grim Reaper. Now you followed on beautifully. You'd think I'd actually read the poem, which I hadn't. Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Lady O?
Yes, this is a wonderful poem. I wasn't here 6 years ago, so I didn't get to hear it before. I like this. This is a whole lot. People hypnotized, thought went off into the scene of the Grim Reaper, and they woke up and they heard the cracking bones, and it was too late. They're all going to die. It's a final, the life's final. This is wonderful. It's a great, great, great poem all the way through. It's a good job of this. I like it. And just dark
Thank
enough.
Thank you very much.
At least you didn't eat nobody. So it's a great poem.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
Thanks.
It's true. Well,
she didn't say how they died.
A nice,
good job,
nice follow-on from the last poem. So there's a logic there to it. Did we want to get a few comments from you, Rack?
Yeah, life is a stage. I really appreciated this, though. As much as you could, crack jokes about the bones and whatnot. This is very very well staged and played out. The bones cracking and whatnot. I don't think you actually say what it is that's happening that's killing them, just that everyone's dying. So doing that to our own imagination is also a nice little literary device, I think. The whole thing is spooky and ominous.
Thank you very much.
No, I agree. Rack, it's a poem that keeps us on the straight and narrow. Sweet. Have you got a few words to say?
Well, she's the noise on the marrow.
You like that? I thought that was sweet.
Yes.
Did you want to say a few words?
I loved it. Of course. First off, I love the picture, just so that you know. Obedient, mindless, they climb the mountain to the image, paralyzed with fear, yet not visited, blindly following one after the other submissive. So like lambs to the slaughter they go. And of course, I love the word sheeple. I love the sheeples. They stepped into hell through the Reaper's Gate. Screams could be heard as far away as the valley. Death was welcome now. This was their life's finale. Yes, follow and follow until you cannot follow anymore and just jump off the cliff into death. I love this. This is just great. People will just go and go. As I said before, I can feel the bones crushing under bones. Excellent, disturbing, dark, timeless. And I totally still believe that. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful writing, my dear sweet queen.
Oh, thank you so much, my darling. I appreciate it.
Hey, this would make a great commercial for Canadian healthcare.
Good thinking. I thought the marrow joke was underappreciated myself there. Anyway, I reckon so. But anyway, we keep on going. And well done, Lady O, thank you. And I am going to put the piece from that Deb
Gonzo
got in the room for from We're All Gonzo. And then I'm going to play the SoundCloud. And then I think we're in your hands for the final piece. I think, from memory.
All right.
So this is The Name Again by We Are All Gonzo, and this is its SoundCloud.
Not a lot of filthy scandals, so salacious. Marauders of morals, malicious maniacs, hiding behind porcelain faces. If heaven approached and broached the query, would it make you one of the weary to see the teary red eyes, to watch the toes curl of an innocent blonde-haired five-year-old girl while suspended in agony writhing about in front of her family as they cry and they shout? Heretic! For even a second of hesitation betrays one's heavenly station without participation as a failure to God. No resuscitation soothes the slate clean, only the saintly are spared the rod.
See what I mean about people who are dark riders? They just have that voice. They have that presence. They have the thing that I like.
Oh,
you know, it just sort of, you know, it's just like, okay, here you go. Take that. Sweet, what did you think of that little piece?
Well, I think God just talked to me and I should go pray.
Ah!
I'm just saying. I'm not quite sure what that was, but I think that's maybe I should go do.
Fair enough, too.
That was just scary to listen to.
It was. It was.
I mean, my goodness.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. 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 All of that. That's something.
Oh.
Indeed. Lady A, did you want to add to that, to that comment?
I'm sorry?
Lady A, did you want to say something about just listening to?
Okay. Well, I thought it was unusual. The voice certainly was very unusual, and it was very spooky, which I really liked. I don't want to say that it scared me, but I thought his voice lent a great deal of power.
Yes.
To this piece, and and you know, when you bring children into something like this, it makes it even worse. If heaven approached and broached the query, would it make you one of the weary to see the teary red eyes, to watch the toes curl of an innocent blonde-haired five-year-old girl while suspended in agony, writhing about in front of her family as they cry and shout, like, wowzer. That was a visual that was very powerful.
Yep.
Very dark. Yeah, and then the last line of no resuscitation soothes the state clean, the slate clean, only the sanity are spared the rod. Like, that is a glimpse into insanity when you think about the visual of that child. Anyways, it was brilliantly written, and every line was very terrifying, if you will. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep, great description. Great description. Wayne, what did you think of that that piece? Hello, Wayne, are you there still with us? Or are you on mute?
Scared him.
Scared him off the line. Okay. Rack, did you want to say a few words?
Oh, I appreciate this. You know, it's my mind kind of hit a speed bump when he mentioned the kid, you know, for the most part. And I lost the thread of the story. But, you know, the voice and everything else, the production value is really, you know, kind of over the top and wonderful for what he does.
Yeah.
That is actually his voice. He just modulates it. So
yes.
There's Gonzo in there somewhere. So that adds to it. I think I could really appreciate that. But you know, the whole idea, the whole piece, you know, with the read, he took full advantage of all of that technology and really gave us something that sticks to your ribs. Very well done.
No, I agree with you. I agree very much so. Just a terrific piece that he put together. So now,
Sweet, I think we've just got one of your brevities to go. Is that right?
I believe so.
And I believe that is Irish Twins.
Yes. I believe so. That would be it. So, let me get to Irish Twins.
And we should say that we haven't actually come up with a theme for next week yet, Sweet. But we came up for a theme for this week, and it worked fine. So, you know, we'll just bear with us. We'll we'll theme away.
We'll figure out something.
It'll come. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, Irish Twins. This is fun. All right. More dollies, because my theme was dollies this week. All right. I have my little dollies. Their names are Mickey and Molly. They love to dance and sing. They do, and they do it without any pull string. They talk and walk about my room. I can feel impending doom. Once they cut up my Barbie doll, lit up Kim's grill, and charred her like a cow. I dare not say a word as they licked their lips, smiled at each other and said, "How about her?" End poem.
Well, nothing like a bit of localized barbecuing, is there, really? Particularly if there are dolls involved. Why not?
Barbie on the Barbie.
That's it. Go to smoker. Rat, what did you think of if you like your grill charred or medium? Well done. Hello, Rat.
That's Rat.
Hello, Rat. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Damn, I hate this new pun. So the dolls didn't just come to life. You heard them plotting your murder, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Lovely. I want a room with you.
Everyone does.
Well, I was going to say, that's the you know, the best pickup line I've heard so far this show, right? So well done you. Lady A, did you want to talk about the dolls or anything in particular with regard to that particular poem?
Well, I think that Sweet has a prejudice towards dolls, which crushes me. Yes.
Okay.
I love dolls. And so I think that she did a really great job on this. To make us all kind of, you know, hate dolls. And so I thought that was a good point as well. And then, you know, they smiled at each other and said, how about her? So perhaps they got caught you one night or another and tortured you and hung you upside down. I'm not sure, but it kind of sounds like something like that would take place. But you did a really good job of spooking it out of us.
Thank you.
Well done.
You're welcome.
That was her intent, to go with the scary dolls. Yes. So, Sweet, we have got through the first episode of Sweet and Dour, and we've actually got our way to within 10 minutes of the end, which is quite scary, really, for the first time around. So,
would you like another one about dolls?
You've got one there, Lady A. You've got time if you want to put it in.
I can have it. I put it in the room right away.
Is that a rejoinder, is it? Is this the nice thing about dolls? Is it? Is that what we're talking about now?
No, it is not. It's a dark poetry poem inspired by... I had to go to confession and everything after I wrote this poem because it was about a doll. So this is called, it's in the room, Grandmama's Poupée. Now, poupée is the French word for doll.
Lovely.
Lost doll once adored sits dwelling in loneliness, neglected, forsaken, absent of a child's touch. Swallowed in ebony night shadows haunts, lurking in the dust, she blinked, remembering moments. fragrances in lavender drift in from the wind. An aphrodisiac smell of leather filled the small cellar. Thunder booms and lightning claps as the storm continues to tell its tale of crying children and monsters in the dark. She stares at silver-covered skies, watching stars winking from the edge of her windowpane. Wonders trapped inside her French bisque poupée. Mademoiselle was gifted cassette by grandmama, a stiff and stern woman with little tolerance for les enfants, especially her own when angered. To the cellar they were thrown. Mice and rats, their toys, kept them warm. So what if they bite? They learned to quell the terror in different directions. They played to keep them sane until the day they parted ways, never together again. Only Cassette remained in the cellar that smelled like leather. End poem.
Oh, God, that was awesome.
There you go. Well done. Well done. What, did you want to say a word about, must be 15 all on the scale,
well,
of doll poem sort of. Did you want to go first?
I'm telling you, she teases me, but yet there she is. There she is right now talking to me about scary doll poems, and she's right there with me. Right there with me.
Yes.
Absolutely,
yes,
100%. Right there,
yep,
with me.
Yep.
So I don't know what she's saying.
Yep. Well, as I said, 15 all on the scary doll poem register. Rack, did you want,
yep,
to say a few words about Lady A's scary doll poem?
I'm kind of left a little speechless with Cassette and the basement and the dolls. Trying to figure out how the leather works in.
Mm.
Well,
yeah.
The leather works in because, let me see, where did I put that in there? Oh, it's up above.
The smell of leather.
Build the small,
yeah,
cellar.
Yeah, the basement. You
don't
know how basements
get belted by the wind.
Now, yes.
Okay, so I'm reading more into it than I should.
Well,
no, you're not. No. No, you're not. You're probably reading about the right amount, I think, right?
Okay.
It's BDSM dolls, you know, as it is. And so, that's an appropriate place, really, for us to finish. I mean, who would have thought that we would have gone through so many different sort of scary elements to get to matching sort of scary doll poems, really? Sweet, that's our first episode of Sweet and Dour, and I think we've done okay. You've opened the comments.
I think we did lovely.
I think we had some nice old poems. We had some good new poems. We had some certainly scary stuff, you know, definitely scary stuff. Gonzo and also, you know, nothing. Yeah. No, we had some really scary stuff. So I was impressed. I was impressed. I thought there was definitely some scary stuff there, and I think it worked well. So my thanks to you for, you know, putting stuff together and putting all those poems back up, and that was great.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you for having
and
me.
No, we should thank Lady A and Rack for being with us at the end, and for We had Wayne with us, and then early on we had Sky with us, and we had all those people who know their names that gave us poems and tried to scare the shit out of us, and did pretty well. I think it was a good start, really, and you know, we'll work with this and keep going forward. I think, why not? Work okay.
We'll see what we can do.
Excellent. So
what
I heard, and you guys, congratulations. Is this your first show together?
It's our first show together. So, you know, we're just sort of working out, you know, how to work with each other and all those hours that we spent getting ready for the show, sweet. I think they showed on the on the page.
No, it
paid
off, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm just telling you. So all of that work that we did to lay out every 15 minutes or so of what we're going to do, you know, it just happened. So always good when planning helps along the way, Lady A. So or not.
Exactly.
Yes, or not. So with that, as I said, we'll work out what we're doing next week. It's worked pretty well this week, so we can do something similar next week, I suspect. But anyway, we'll work it out as we go, and we'll come back episode 2 of Sweetened Hour, and we'll go from there. But meanwhile, this is, of course, James Taylor with Fire and Rain. No goals, but I guess, you know, there's leather in here somewhere. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Night.
Okey-doke. Thanks for the crack. Thanks, Lady A. And we'll catch you soon.
Thank you.
Here's James Taylor. Bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time, my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you finally now.
Well, thanks, Sweet. Thanks, Deb. Thanks to everybody at the Team of Voices. We'll be back next week for the next second episode of Sweetened Hour, and we look forward to seeing you then. Bye, everybody.
Night, night. Bye.